From the Midas at Roseburg studio, KQEN weather sunny, and it's supposed to warm up considerably this afternoon. Looking for a high of 57, mostly clear tonight, down to 33. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 57. Thursday night, partly cloudy, down to 37. And on Friday, sunny and 58. Saturday remains sunny, but Sunday, we're expecting rain in the Umpqua Valley, but it's still very cold. In fact, we've gone back down to 34 degrees. KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. State Representative Cedric Hayden joining us. The House is in session right now. And originally I thought we were going to be coming with the representative from the rear and kind of a booth area that they have. But as it turned out, as they're reading language on bills, he was able to exit back up to his office. So that is where he joins us from now. Cedric, first of all, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about last night's House session that had only one Republican. Talk more about your perspective on that.
Yeah, sure. Happy to get into that. And again, thank you for having me on. This is the third week of the legislative session. And as you mentioned, we are on the floor right now. The way that process works, if people are scratching their heads, I ask for a request since I do been doing these call-ins with you. And we do have availability to request an excuse to do other business. That means working with constituents, things like this. Often we're in other committees. So that's why I'm in my office right now and am able to talk with you. So the big topic is what's happening in the state legislature. Last night, there was a request for all the lawmakers to continue our floor session, which we had at the normal time before noon and then cut off around 1 o'clock. And we went into recess, and what it means is rather than having the session close and go to the next day, when they put it into recess, they can call us back into session that day. And they did call us back into session at 6 o'clock. Our leadership under Christine Drazen made a negotiation, and I guess it wasn't both sides that got to that negotiation, but we did not. The lawmakers, the 21 of us, did not show up for the floor session last night, and so they did convene, and they were there for about an hour, and then they called off that there wasn't quorum, so they couldn't continue reading of the bills, which we're doing now to kind of slow the process down so we allow our constituents to be able to absorb more of the material coming through. And then this morning, we all showed up and we were back in session this morning, and we had a minority report that actually got approved from the Republicans on the House floor, which is really unusual, and just finished voting on that.
So talk about some of the aspects of last night. Now, in the statewide coverage we have, it said that five Republicans had submitted excuses for their absence to the House Speaker's office, and 16 others hadn't, which begs the question, which way did you go on that?
So we have, kind of like what we're doing right now, we have the opportunity, we all have the opportunity to do this, and I have some standing excuses, as we've talked about in the past. I provide still hospital dentistry at certain time frames. My surgery times that I work in the hospital are Friday mornings, and so unless there's a really real emergency, I just state that up front, and when session starts, I turn those time frames in and get excused. And that Tuesday evening, I also have a meeting that I go to on a monthly basis. So I already had an excuse in before this decision was made personally. So I was one of the five that would have routinely been out of the building that had excuses in. I did go to our leader, Christine Drazen, and I told her, you know, I have this excuse that's already approved for me not to be here. I'm happy to go, you know, ask if I can remove that excuse and take an unexcused absence, because I would certainly be there supporting you with not showing up as the Republicans did. And she said, no, you legitimately were going to be out of the building anyway. So, you know, for me personally, I would have been out of the building, but I certainly was there and available to ask them if they wanted to, take an unexcused absence for that. So that's what happened with my particular schedule. There was a few of us that were already going to be out of the building. We didn't know even that morning that we were going to have that evening schedule call. And so that's kind of the flow of it with our schedules.
Now, some people have wondered today in some of the statewide coverage I've seen if this, because the back and forth is obviously seeming rather intense right now on the cap and trade bill, is this something that is likely to happen more often from either chamber of periodically just taking the action like was taken last night?
Well, I serve on the, I serve as part of the House leadership, so I'm in the room during many of these negotiations, discussions. I am not in the room when our leader speaks with the Speaker of the House, Kotek, so I don't have privy to that. But this all kind of started off Monday evening, when the Ways and Means Subcommittee convened an hour and 15 minutes late at 4:45 rather than 3 o'clock. They convened us and gave us 15 minutes to review and look at an amendment to the 1530 bill. Now, the 1530 amended engrossed bill was posted on Sunday night. And so we had 94 pages to try and review. And then at 3:22, an amendment that significantly changed the bill was posted. Now, keep in mind, the Natural Resources was supposed to meet at 3 o'clock, but because they have to have an hour notice, they pushed the meeting back to 4:45. So my colleague from the House and I had about 45 minutes to try and decipher what those amendments, what that amendment, -41 amendment, meant, and we kind of figured out what they were doing. And so I requested that the Legislative Council come down, which was a little bit of a surprise because they expected to just move those amendments and not have any hearing. My colleague and I also signed a letter asking us to have a hearing on these amendments. And so what happened is the Legislative Council came down. She did a very nice explaining what was happening and what they were doing with the bill, in my opinion, in order to be able to advertise the bill that the utilities, people that provide your electricity and your natural gas, would not be able to pass on to ratepayers the increased cost of this bill. And so they made amendment, they took those lines out of the bill, and I asked Legislative Council, okay, that's coming out of the bill. Where is that language going in to other bills? And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And she did lay it out, which I think was a little surprise to my colleagues, that the language that we were taking out of the bill actually was going into two other bills. So they weren't getting rid of the policy. They were just making it so that they could advertise this bill as not raising ratepayers' costs to heat their home, to have their electricity, for natural gas, when in fact they were doing, in my opinion, I called it a sleight of hand on the dais, you know, bait and switch, however you want to look at it. They were pulling policy out to make it look like ratepayers wouldn't be hit by this to heat their homes, but they were actually stuffing that policy into other bills. And so that caused quite a kerfluffle. And we were able to get our hearing, and that is supposedly going to start at 3 o'clock today to the committee, which we have some other stuff first, and then at 5 o'clock, open it up for a hearing on that. And a new amendment that was just posted a short time ago that when I was on the floor that I haven't even had the chance to read yet.
So the pace is obviously going fairly rapidly. Now, did you end up meeting last Friday and Saturday?
We did not. So far, our decision through our leadership is that we aren't available to meet outside of the regular times that we would normally meet. And so we have not been meeting on weekends to this point.
And do you think that's going to change, though, as the clock is starting to tick closer on the end of those 35 days?
Well, the whole point, I don't know that will change. I don't think there's any intent for that to change. And what we have, again, asked time and time again, bring us the budget bills. Let's get the budget bills. We wouldn't slow down the process for the budget bills, but we feel like the big policy items that didn't get through in 2019 have been pushed into 2020. And we're basically saying we're going to do with the tools that we have, with the way the process is set up, when there's an unbalance of power, we feel like there are some checks and balances that were hard written in, hardwired in, and we are utilizing those. Now, Republicans are utilizing them during this session. We utilized those during last session, and if you go back far enough in time, those that are leaders now on the majority side, they utilized the same tools when Republicans were in charge. And so this isn't anything really out of the ordinary if you look at it from, you know, when these swings of power become so unbalanced that one side has to utilize the tools available. And that's what we're doing, and I don't see a change in that.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back, live from his office in Salem, State Representative Cedric Hayden. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in a moment, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4 with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt and State Senator Dallas Hurd, scheduled at this point to be on our Inside Douglas County program tomorrow. That may change depending on what happens in Salem. State Representative Cedric Hayden here, and people wondering, people interested in knowing, is there still a potential for a walkout by either chamber of the Republicans?
So, yeah, I think that potential is there. You can look at this from whatever type of perspective, and of course, people are comparing it to last year when the Republican senators walked out. They walked out and stayed out. We've taken a little bit a different approach under our leadership, is that it's more of a, I don't know if you would call a nuclear option or a sledgehammer approach versus a surgical approach, that we've kind of taken here to slow down what we think is an abuse of an unbalanced power in far as pushing some of these major policies through in a very short time that doesn't give our constituency amount of time that we feel that they need to engage with those bigger policies. We do think there's enough time to do the budget bills, and so, you know, I think that this debate will continue to carry on.
In meantime, with all of that going on, are you going to get through all the other items in terms of budget adjustments and things like that? Or are they going to make it through in that 35-day window?
Yeah, there's plenty of time to get all the budgets done. It does come down to whether the majority leadership decides to, you know, put those budget items forward to where that we can actually get to them or leave them lower on the schedule. So there's certainly time now to get those budget items done. We have basically gone through the deadlines. Of course, we do have some legislative committees that are still open, like revenue and rules committees. But most of the, or all of the policy has already been vetted. And is out there available to either be moved to the floor or moved to the Ways and Means. And we are not restricting any of the time from committees at this point because we think committees and hearings are a good thing.
And just how intense is it getting right now in Salem?
You know, I think last night was probably one of the more, you know, Monday you could feel the pressure coming on. And then, of course, Tuesday, yesterday afternoon, evening, we didn't show up. And so there was a question of, are they coming back? Are they not coming back? A lot of pressure. But then we were all here this morning at the appropriate time. The wheels are turning. We are going through the bills. And so it doesn't feel like that pressure is certainly not as tense as it was like Monday evening.
And of course, one of the questions there that I think about is, in working in other policy areas with your Democratic colleagues, how fracturing is our relationships with this cap and trade issue? Is that causing problems in other areas?
You know, it's interesting. There definitely is tension within the building, but we still have very civil conversations with us. You know, there is a very small amount of bills that are controversial. We don't think those controversial bills should be done in the short session, and we're staying very committed to that concept. But can I walk across the hall and talk to my Democratic colleagues here? Absolutely. And so, you know, do they have lunch together? Do we have conversations? Yeah, it's all of the things that you don't see in the hallway are really pretty congenial.
And so do you think the bigger disputes are kind of between the top end of the leadership of both parties?
I think the biggest dispute, and perhaps the only dispute that would perpetuate a potential walkout, is a decision by leadership on the majority side whether they want to continue to push a cap and trade or, you know, increase on energy process, tax, fee, however you want to phrase that. If they want to push that policy through without allowing the option of sending it to the voters so that the voters could weigh in on this, we feel like it's our job to stand up and say that is not what we think should happen. We believe that regardless of what's in the policy, if the majority leadership would say, we will send this to the voters, that would get out of the building right away and we could finish the business.
What are some of the policy areas that you're working on specifically this week?
So I still have, you know, a couple of bills that are in flux out there. One of them is, we've talked a little bit about, neither of my bills are technically dead because they've gone to committees that are on. I don't expect or I'm not hearing that my senior property tax people that are on fixed income, one of the policies that I have worked on before and I'm working on again to address housing concerns and particularly seniors on fixed income that are, you know, having a difficult time keeping up even with the increases in their property tax or these mobile home parks where they don't actually own the property, but the fees go up, you know, tied to the property tax there. It's a big issue. It's something that I get reached out to in my district and other districts reach out to me about that housing issue for seniors. So I do have a senior property tax fix. It is over in revenue. The bill is still alive, but I'm not hearing that that will move forward. The other bill of my priority bills is one on oral health, and it's in a holding pattern at this time. So, you know, we still have some bills that are alive.
Talk to us more about this oral health dental bill.
So the oral health dental bill is something that I've, you know, I am a dentist, and so I get a lot of the policy within that. In our K-12 education system, we have health education, but within that health education, there's not any mention of oral health. And so what we're trying to do is, as the education system incorporates at no additional cost to them, that there's just an aspect of, you know, oral health, something very simple that would be incorporated as K-12 systems go through and update their health education curriculum, they would add a sentence or two about oral health. We've met with a lot of stakeholders around that. There was a lot of concern around that. But we think we've gotten that to the point to where it's pretty clear that all we're saying is that we want a little bit of education in that. What we have right now in Oregon is about 10% of children have still rampant decay, meaning that they actually have cavities that are uncontrolled, even though they have health care or insurance. Most of them are covered with some sort of insurance. They're not getting identified and they're not getting access, so that we think that would be a help to do that. The other aspect of it is to, which wouldn't cost any general fund dollars, the other aspect, which also doesn't cost any general fund dollars, is to allow the Oregon Health Authority to go out and get some federal grants for some community health, oral health folks that would fund them, because there are grants available at the federal level and nonprofit level to go out and help educate areas that are identified where the oral health hasn't integrated to the point that we want it. So it's kind of a technical bill. It doesn't cost any money from general fund dollars. It doesn't cost a tax base, but it does direct the Oregon Health Authority to apply for some grants to provide that service.
As we wrap up, as the back and forth on the cap and trade bill continues, is there a concern from the GOP side that some of these bills that would seem very routine to people, like what you just mentioned, if they come from GOP sponsors, are going to get held to the side just because of the other debate?
You know, I don't know. It was interesting during this session, which, you know, this is my sixth session and third short session, there was a lot more bills that didn't fall off. We talked about 260 bills were out there, and only 28 of them, if I have the numbers right, I don't have those notes in front of me, fell off in the first round. I haven't done the calculations of the second round, but there was a lot more bills that didn't die than what we have seen in the past. And so there, you know, is a theory that those will be in, you know, as the session comes down to crunch time, used as maybe some sort of equation or balancing, horse trading, whatever you want to call that. As far as my bills goes, that's certainly not happening.
All right, we're out of time. And State Representative Cedric Hayden live from Salem. We talked to Floyd Przanski yesterday, Cedric Hayden today. We have Dallas Hurd scheduled tomorrow as we continue to follow what's happening in Salem. Representative Hayden, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.